This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're joined by the stars of HGTV's home renovation show, Good Bones. The Indianapolis-based mother-daughter duo made a name for themselves rehabbing homes primarily in the Fountain Square and historic Bates Hendricks neighborhoods on the city's near south side. The show is currently in its fifth season, and new episodes on HGTV are on Tuesday nights at 9, 8 Central. If you have questions or comments for our show today, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. 866-476-3881. We just need your name, where you're calling from, and your quick question or comment, and we'll do our best to get it in front of Karen E. Lane and Mina Starziak-Hawk. Joining me now via Skype, that's the duo, the hosts of the show Good Bones and co-founders of the home renovation business Two Chicks and a Hammer. Mina, welcome.
Hi.
And hi, Karen.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. I feel so famous.
Our little statewide show has nothing on HGTV, but I guess let's get started with sort of the genesis of it. So HGTV has this reputation for being one of those channels that you might be flipping through, and then the next thing you know, hours have passed, and you're several episodes deep, and you've got a mental renovation list made. So odds are, I guess, if somebody's watched HGTV, they've probably seen your show. But Mina, for those who might be unfamiliar, what can somebody expect to see in a typical episode of Good Bones, would you say?
I mean, you definitely get a whole lot of bang for your buck in a Good Bones episodes. The scope of our projects are just massive. So it's the most tragic house, really, that no one else ever wants, usually filled with all kinds of, you know, poo and fire damage and who knows what else. So most of them are complete gut jobs, if not teardowns. And then we, you know, fix the structure, build them back up, dress them out beautifully, and find awesome homeowners to sell them to.
And Karen, before there was Good Bones, the show, there was Two Chicks and a Hammer, which is the renovation business that the show was built around. What's the story there? How did the business get started?
When Mina graduated from college, she wanted to do something grown up, but she didn't want to get a grown-up job where she had to wear a suit. So she thought the grown-up thing she would do was buy a house. So I co-signed for her, and we renovated this house together, and we really enjoyed it. So we did another one, and then we did another one. And then Mina said, I don't think this is a hobby anymore. I think this is a business. We need checks with the logo on them, and we need a name, and we need hoodies with our logo on them. And so we did some brainstorming, and she came up with the name Two Chicks and a Hammer, and it was just perfect. And we just grew from there.
And I mean, anyone who's rehabbed a house or even, you know, done any level of the kind of work that you do knows that there's a lot of stress involved, and enough stress in many cases to make you never want to do it again. It doesn't sound like that was your story. Did you feel like you had a knack for it out of the gate?
Yeah. I mean, I like to tell people, be careful if you do a renovation job, because if you get bit by the renovation bug, there is no cure. And so if you're not enjoying yourself, maybe it's just not your calling. That's all.
And you started off in Fountain Square, a neighborhood on Indianapolis' southeast side. Was that where the house was? Is that where Mina's house was?
No, Mina's first house was in a very transitional neighborhood. Locals will be familiar with 23rd and Carrollton. There was 24-hour open-air drug dealing across the street. The dealers were very nice, and they took very good care of us. They never let anything bad happen to us. Whenever we'd have people over or have a meal, we always brought them a plate because they're out there on the sidewalk. I'm not saying that that's a good thing, that they're dealing drugs, but there's no reason to have them mad at us. Like, that's not a good thing. So one of them ended up going to prison, and we rescued his two dogs and found homes for them. So we were good neighbors. That was the first one. And then I bought an office in Fountain Square for my law practice, and then we bought another house here and another house here, and that's how it ended up being in Fountain Square, because I just loved it here. Loved it. I love my neighbors. I love the neighborhood. And that was before it was all fancy.
Indeed. Well, you still live in Fountain Square then?
Yeah. Well, it's actually technically a part of Fountain Square called North Square. So it's this little tiny sort of armpit of Fountain Square that is its own neighborhood.
And so you were a lawyer before the renovation business?
I'm actually still a lawyer.
Still a lawyer. Well, yeah, sure. And Mina, what about you?
I was waiting tables when we started. And, you know, just kind of did that until we got picked up for the pilot and then realized TV was a full-time job, which is not really what I had assumed it would be. So now I just run the business, our Two Chicks and a Hammer, and we've got, you know, our new store that just opened. We're opening our consulting business and our real estate brokerage. So that's what I do.
Well, so Mina, how did you, I guess, learn to rehab houses? There's an awful lot that goes into it. And it doesn't sound like either of you had that much prior experience, or am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, neither of us had any like specific training. I think we had both, you know, picked up some things along the way. And I think some people just like have a natural inclination, like you're good at painting. And some people, no matter how much you practice, you're just not going to, you're not going to enjoy it or be good at it. So, but a lot of the stuff was trial and error, honestly. I watched a YouTube video to figure out how to tile. And then I tiled my bathroom in my first house. And, you know, it took mom and I probably a couple days to install the kitchen cabinets in my first house because there was such a learning curve, but they were installed perfectly. So everything just took a little bit more time in the beginning while we figured out how to do it and what, you know, tools were the best to do the various projects with.
So you kept learning and you kept doing different things. And I don't know, I guess now, do you feel like you both fall into, you both, I guess, cover different parts of the house? Like, is there an area where you're more comfortable than your mom? Or Karen, is there an area where you're a lot more comfortable than Mina? Mina, I guess we'll start with you. What are your specializations, I suppose?
I mean, I think we probably both have a pretty good general knowledge of all the things that need to that go on in the house. I mean, neither of us do any of like the rough plumbing or electrical or HVAC in our homes, although we both know how to do like bits and pieces of it. But those are things you really just should leave to professionals most of the time because they can create a fire or a flood. We kind of leave those to the people who are licensed to do that.
Indeed. That's probably a good idea. Karen, how would you say you divvy up the work?
All the landscaping. Give me landscaping all day long. I will create an Eden for you. It's what I
love
to do.
Even in this heat?
Oh, yeah. I will be out in this in my old granny gardening hat and as few clothes as is publicly allowable and just dig away all day and be perfectly happy. I am also really good at painting, wallpapering, and making things out of something else. So I can find a piece of trash, what people call trash. It's not trash to me. I'll have to show you my piano clock. It's fantastic.
I would love to see it. So Karen, the business model of Two Chicks and a Hammer emphasizes that you rehab homes. I guess, is there a distinction between rehabbing a home and flipping it?
Yeah, the people who say flip to me learn the distinction pretty quickly. I'm not polite about it. So if you're flipping, what you're doing is finding a undervalued home, putting as little money into it as possible, and maximizing your profit. Perfectly legitimate model for home, you know, real estate investment. But what we do is try to buy as many houses that no one else wants in a small area so we can change the whole neighborhood when we rehab those houses. And it's just the philosophical approach that's different. The outcome is still a really lovely house. We don't make as much money as the flippers do. So sometimes I wish we followed that model. But, you know, doing well by doing good is much more satisfying to my soul than money in my bank account.
But at the end of the day, you are still making money, maybe just not the kind of margins that the flippers are making, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah, we couldn't do this if we didn't make money. It wouldn't make sense. This isn't a charity. We do make money. But yeah, we just don't make the same margins.
Was there any particular criteria that you look for in a house before you bought it?
Yeah, there's two criteria. Geographical location, because we like to stay in our little urban downtown neighborhood. And can we do it? Like financially, can we buy this house at this amount of money, put the money into it that we need to, and turn some sort of profit?
So, Mina,
those are the two criteria.
So you launch a business, Mina, and you get things off the ground. So then how does HGTV find you?
I had made a very small little Facebook page, probably, you know, in the early ages of Facebook. And really, it was kind of more for us to track our projects. And I maybe had a handful of realtors that followed it to see, you know, what projects we had up and coming that weren't on the market yet. And it had, you know, my home phone number, my home address, because who cares at that point? And someone at High Noon Production, who makes our show, found it and thought it was interesting enough to call me and say, you know, hey, this is who I am. This is what we're doing. Like, have you guys ever thought about making a TV show? And I mean, my family is kooky as all get out, and confusing and wild. And so it's always been joked like, oh God, you guys could have your own TV show, but, not in any serious way. So mom and I are both kind of the type that were like, well, this sounds like an interesting ride. Sure. Why not? And then everything kind of rolled from that random finding on Facebook.
So Karen, and we're up against a break here pretty soon, so we've got about a minute left, so we'll continue part of this in a little bit. But in those early episodes, we get a lot of great shots from this handheld camera that we see you carrying around at the project sites. You're already a mother and a lawyer and a home renovator. Were they looking to add you to the film crew as well?
I wish they would add me to the film crew. That was High Noon Entertainment's early attempt at being edgy. And the problem is the production value from a handheld camera doesn't match the production value from one of those big cameras that a camera operator operates. Uh-huh. So it was hard to cut the footage. It just didn't work very well.
We will be back with the hosts of Good Bones after a quick break. And if you have questions or comments for the show, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. Maybe you're doing your own home rehab, or if you're interested in getting into this kind of business and you have some tips that you want the Good Bones ladies to help us with, find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana, or leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking with the hosts of the HGTV show Good Bones, a home renovation show that takes place primarily in neighborhoods on Indy's near Southside. And we would love your questions and comments for our guests today. We're on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a voicemail including your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. If you're fans of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 866-476-3881. And we're joined again via Skype by the hosts of Good Bones and co-founders of the home renovation business, Two Chicks and a Hammer, Karen E. Lane and Mina Starziak Hawk. So, Mina, what was the early response to the show? What do you think made your show stand out?
As any new show, I mean, I'm sure our ratings weren't spectacular, but I think because it was different, like HGTV was trending towards, instead of this older dynamic where there was a show and they hired a host and it wasn't really that person's company or job necessarily, to this more real life, authentic model where we're going to follow these people for the most part, like running businesses. I think ours was one of the earlier ones that kind of followed that model. And I think it just really resonated with people because it's real, it felt very real. And I think because we're in the Midwest, not only is what we're doing financially, like price-wise for the houses, costs for the renovation, that was all very relatable to people as well as us, because we're just being who we are and we've got this big, crazy mixed family. And I think it was just a little bit starting this different trend on the network that people really seem to embrace, which is awesome.
Yeah, Karen, I feel like sometimes when I watch HGTV, I think, gosh, how is anyone affording homes in these other areas? But you're working in Indianapolis where homes are, you know, quite affordable. Could you see yourself doing this anywhere else? And I guess making any money at all?
It's not really the financial part that makes me not think I could do it somewhere else, because if we did it somewhere else, in every single town, there's a part of town that needs rehabilitation. We could find that part of town and we could do this. But Indianapolis is home. I listen to NPR all the time.
And thank you.
I want to give back to my hometown because of everything it's given to me. So going somewhere else just doesn't make sense to me.
And realistically, we couldn't afford to renovate a toilet in California, no matter how much I would like to.
Karen, are you having as much fun as you both look like you're having on the show?
I mean, if I'm not having fun, it's my job to change something. So my rule is have fun. Life's too short to not have fun. I think how much fun I have annoys Mina some of the time.
So, Mina, the show is in its fifth season, so congrats to you both on that. When you look back at those early seasons now, what's changed? I mean, is it fair to say that you found a rhythm?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was even just talking to my husband today. We had a reveal this morning, and he texted me about his day, and he said, how's the reveal going? And I was like, we're already done, and it took us, 2.5 hours. And he said, man, you guys have really got it figured out, because it would have taken 2 days. Season one. But I think that's just part of the beast. Like, we were figuring out how to TV, and TV was wrapping their head around really what our business does. And it took a while to get a rhythm and swing of things and know what we needed to capture and what, could go unseen, because we, do construction for 6 months and they show 42 minutes of it. So it's definitely become a much more streamlined process.
Well, so you had a reveal today. So, I have to ask, I can anticipate that like next year around this time, we're going to be seeing a lot of these sort of reality shows, maybe a lot of HGTV shows where people are either wearing masks or standing far apart from each other. I don't know. What are the protocols now since you're still doing it?
Yeah. I mean, when we came back up, we were down for about 6 weeks. And when we started filming again, we had definitely different protocol. Everyone's temperature is taken, as soon as you get out of your car. We had the antibacterial. Everyone has masks. A lot of the times we live in our bubble, the production team and us, and none of us really have lives outside of it. So we all kind of quarantine together. So if we're around each other, the production team always has their masks on. Mom and I, depending on what we're doing, we'll have ours off. And I think everyone's just way more aware of what they touched and disinfecting things and things like that. But I do think it'll be interesting because people don't really realize how far out the shows are shown from when they're shot. And there's a lot of changes, not even, just with COVID, but all the diversity, cultural things we're going through right now. Filming even today, our episode aired yesterday that we filmed a year ago, and we refer to everything as, the master bedroom. And that term is adjusting. So our reveal today, it's the main bedroom or the ensuite bedroom. And you won't notice those changes until the episode airs, 6 months, a year from now. So it's just, it's an interesting time.
Karen, how many homes do you work on in a year now, would you say?
Somewhere between 13 and 15 a season.
And it takes us about 10
months to film a season. Anything outside of that, though? What's that, Mina?
It takes about 10 months to film a season. So that's okay. That's about our year.
And are a lot of the rehabs for the show, are there any that are done on top of that?
There's only time to do TV. Yeah. So all the rehabs we do get filmed.
I guess, did the process, Mina, of filming a television show around this kind of work differ from maybe what you'd anticipated it to be in the beginning?
110%. I was very naive. I'm like, oh, they're just going to follow us around with cameras and watch what we do. But that would be wildly inefficient because you don't want to see Mom and I painting for 6 hours or installing flooring for 6 hours. So, we definitely had to make some accommodations. And as our company grew as well, before it made sense for Mom and I to do those things. But now it just doesn't. We have awesome construction teams. And so when we go in and you see us on the show installing flooring, we made the point of we're not doing anything on TV we don't know how to do. but we're also not fully doing it. So we'll go lay flooring in a room of a house and then move on and let the professionals finish it way quicker. So that's kind of how things happen now.
Karen, has the workload grown as the show has, or can you still just do those, the amount of rehabs in a season, and that really can't change?
I think we could increase output if the company grows. I think that, so, and I don't know if you know this, but I retired from Two Chicks and a Hammer. So oh. Mina's running the show now, and I'm still considered a founder and still available. I still film the show, but I don't have to go to any of the meetings anymore, which is nice. So if Mina wanted to scale up and buy twice as many houses, and the production team wanted to scale up and film twice as many houses, and she wanted to increase the number of employees and contractors, we could scale up. I don't know if we could do twice as many, but we could do more, because Two Chicks has gotten much more efficient. It's much more streamlined. The production team really knows what they want. So yeah, we could do more now.
And we actually are. We're in the process, and we're just kind of tackling one thing at a time. So getting the storefront open was the first, but we pass up so many requests to do fun homeowner renovations. So our next big goal after the storefront and the e-commerce for that is the consulting branch. So we're probably, you know, 60% of the way through the planning on how to set that up. But that will, we know, require us to bring some more people on staff and to get some more contractors, but that's in the works. So
we're talking to Mina Starczyk-Hawk and Karen E. Lane, co-founders of the home renovation business Two Chicks and a Hammer and co-hosts of the HGTV show Good Bones. I think some might associate a TV show with an element of glamour, but Karen, we see you both. I wondered if you would react to that. We see you both dive into all this dirty work. So what kind of conditions are you typically working with when you first walk into a house that needs all this work?
Well, what I like to say is I love a house that's had a fire because it's burned some of the poop. So our houses are uniformly poopy. Frequently, they've had various, you know, hoarders, squatters, whatever living in them. And that's all the stuff that gets left behind. And then there's maybe a hole in the roof that's created some rot and some dangerous floor conditions. There's always a bunch of old physical plant, you know, an old furnace, an old water heater, those sort of things. We love it when we get a house that somebody has started to demo and they've already taken all the trash out and they've taken off some of the plaster and left. That's a delight. There's a lot of mold in our houses. I have a whole collection of mold pictures because I love mold. What else? There's critters from time to time, sometimes alive, sometimes not. There's been some very sad past critter situations. Yeah, so bad smells, dirty stuff, things falling apart.
There are plenty of homes, of course, that are just beyond repair. And I'm sure that you've seen your fair share of those, but maybe haven't bought them to rehab them. But have you ever come close where you maybe were in the process and you had to back out because you just reassessed and you were like, we just can't do anything with this?
No.
We usually don't find that out till we've after we bought it.
So you have to do something about it.
And then we just have to figure it out.
Oh, no. So even in the most dilapidated houses, you have this knack for finding and restoring some kind of an original element to the house. I mean, can you share an example and explain why that restoration of either the entire house or a certain part of the house that might have significance, why that's important to you?
Well, I think even in last week's episode, for example, the whole house, it was the townhome, needed renovated. And the one thing we kept was the staircase because it was incredible. It was imperfect for sure. Mm. And we could have torn it out and built a nice, you know, new construction staircase. But I think when you're able to blend all this new, fresh construction that people really want, they want the livability of new construction, but they want to feel like there's some history to the home. So if you can keep something that was original, but still make the house function like it's a brand new house, it seems to be the most appealing to the biggest pool of buyers.
Karen, I want to come back to the business's mission, and that is to revitalize Indianapolis one property at a time. Can you talk a little more about that mission and what it's meant to you?
This city has given me everything. My children were born here. I got to the top of my career as a lawyer here. My parents are from the Midwest, and this is home. And I feel like the most important thing a person can do is give back. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't have to be a big thing. But we've been able to give back in what I think is a really profound, meaningful way. We have, my husband and I have so many friends who've retired and moved elsewhere, and they watch the show just to see the shots of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Because our production team does such a good job of showing this beautiful city to its full advantage. And I'm so proud that my city is on this national platform where everybody can see, this is why I love this city. The people are nice. The environment is beautiful. We have all four seasons, which is, I love. It's fantastic because you get all the new excitement. Ooh, it's getting crisp and fall like. Oh, look at the snow. Oh, my magnolia tree is blooming. It's spring. Oh, jeepers, it's 800 degrees outside. When will fall come? So, I mean, it's just how to live. You give back and that's how you live.
I see you both started renovating in 2007 and you focused your work in Fountain Square and Bates Hendricks. How have those neighborhoods changed in the last 13 years?
Well, we can't afford Fountain Square anymore.
okay,
so I think
yeah.
Everyone's kind of seen the changes here. I mean, when we started, you could buy a house in our little area for $10,000, $15,000. And that exact same house now, you would probably need to pay $80,000 to $100,000. So what we really specialize in wasn't needed in Fountain Square really anymore. So moving to Bates Hendricks seemed like the next most reasonable spot. And, you know, now we're in Old South Side a lot and the company will always stay urban. But we've kind of spread out a bit more. So we've got a couple projects on the Near East Side and we did one in Irvington. So we're just spreading out a bit more where we can afford homes because there's more of a need.
Well, and along those lines, I mean, we have to bring this up. There are critics, of course, who say that neighborhood renovations exacerbate the process of gentrification, that these transformed homes attract higher income buyers and lower income residents are displaced. How do you respond to that?
What I have said publicly many times is if your property taxes go up because the value of your home has gone up and you can't afford them, come talk to me. There is legislation pending that we've written in support of that would sort of grandfather you in so that if the home values around you go up because of gentrification, it doesn't affect you. I have lost track of that legislation, to tell you the truth, and I don't know where it's landed. But, I mean, it's a two-sided coin. You don't want these falling down, infested, attractive nuisances in your neighborhood. You don't want them. So what's the option? Leave the crack house? That's better. I don't think that's better for anyone. And what we do does slightly raise the property taxes of the house we buy. It does. It raises them. When I redid my house, the property taxes went up. But it didn't go up to an unaffordable amount because it's still Indiana. Things are pretty affordable here. So anybody's having a problem because we did a renovation and your property taxes went up, come talk to me.
Mina, if somebody tunes into Good Bones, they know that the show's based here in Indianapolis and you and your team are often wearing shirts that broadcast the city's name loud and proud. Local businesses are featured and we get a shot, lots of shots of the city and local neighborhoods that you're working in. How much of a conscious decision has that been to have Indianapolis be a character, be a prominent part of the show, would you say? Got about a minute left.
Oh, I mean, it's awesome. And it's really nice that the production company we work with, not only are...
Uh-oh, did we lose Mina? Karen, do you want to pick up where she left off?
Oh, there she is. She's back. She's back.
She's back.
I'm back. Sorry. I think I was saying the production company that we work with is awesome, that they're in support of Indianapolis being a character in the show. And I think, again, that's part of what makes it appealing, because you used to not know what city you were even watching on the network. And now it is a character, and you get to see. What is that noise?
I think it might be Mom.
Mom, maybe mute your ice.
There we go. Well, we've got to take a break, and so we'll be back in a little bit to continue that thought. There's a lot more to talk about. We'll keep the conversation going after a quick break. We're talking to the host of HGTV's home renovation show, Good Bones, and we would love your input. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Back in 90 seconds. This is All In. Matt Pelser, back now to our discussion with the hosts of HGTV's Indianapolis-based home renovation show, Good Bones. We're joined via Skype by mother-daughter duo Karen E. Lane and Mina Starziak-Hawk. And as always, we would love your questions and comments. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. And we'll get to some of those voicemails in just a moment. But when we left off, we were talking about how Indianapolis is very much a character in the show, a very big part of the show. Karen, why was it important to you to highlight local businesses?
A rising tide floats all boats. If we're going to do well by doing good, part of that is bringing the community with us. And we have a national platform and an opportunity to share the amazing businesses, the arts, the craftspeople. And there's really no option. You just do it because it's the right thing.
And Mina, do people ever hear from other people who have visited Indianapolis because of the show and the fact that it put Indy on the radar?
Definitely. We have a really close relationship with Visit Indy, and it's been really cool over the years to see. They do a lot of research because obviously they're in charge of, you know, bringing conventions and bringing visitors to Indy. So they do testing in, I think, like, you know, Columbus, Chicago, the big cities around us that are the ones that send the most conventions and people to our way. And most recently, they shared some data with us that they were in Chicago, and it was, I think it was 9 out of 10 people polled mentioned, unprompted, mentioned the show and Good Bones and being a cool thing to go visit Indy because of. So it's, I mean, I hope it's helpful for the business. I mean, even just housing our production crew in the hotels brings in a few million dollars a year. So it's got to be good.
We've got a listener voicemail from Carlos who has a question about the show. Let's listen.
Hey, this is Carlos from Indianapolis. I just wanted to know about the furnishings for the houses that we see on Good Bones. Some of them seem to be used specifically for the house that you're working on. Some of them seem to pop up over and over. I want to know if you guys include stuff like that with the sale of the house or how that works. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, how much of that is sort of staging?
We get that. That's probably one of our top five most asked questions, I would say. And most of the stuff is borrowed from local vendors because we spend anywhere between probably $10,000 and $25,000 in the staging of the house. And because we're working in these transitional areas, the appraised value doesn't really give you the ability to roll that into the purchase price of the home. So none of it stays unless the buyer chooses to buy some of the pieces. Like for example, today, you know, they're buying a couch and a coffee table and, you know, they kind of get their pick of everything and then it goes back to the vendors. But it's also an opportunity for those vendors to get their product out because we have a Shop This Look function on our website and the app we have now. So if you really loved a couch you saw, you could go to our app or website, go to the episode link and find exactly where that couch is from. So that's kind of how it works.
And Karen, how much of that's just TV? I mean, the fact that it's a TV show, you've got to stage it, you got to make it look good. Were these decisions you made or was that kind of, were you kind of urged in that direction?
Well, when Mina and I started, we would finish a house and we would stage it very simply And that house would sell, and we would move all that furniture to the next house. But nobody wants to see that on TV, right? You don't want to see the same cream-colored, nubby-looking couch in every house. So to make it interesting for television viewers, and really a lot more fun for us, because we get to do a lot more shopping, yeah, staging the houses is in a unique way is... it's a valuable thing to do, not just for our viewers, but for us and for the production company.
We got a question from Andrew on Twitter who asks, how do you feel when these homes become Airbnb properties? Karen?
Well, I have two Airbnbs at my house, so I love it. You can
I guess what he's getting at is just the fact that that you know these aren't owned by the people. I mean, these are owned by somebody, of course, but
right.
If they're Airbnbs, they're not frequented by the owners, perhaps.
So the problem with there are lots of great tenants in the world, but if you're a landlord and you rent, your tenant doesn't have as much skin in the game and the maintenance of the house as someone who owned the house themselves. Airbnb is different from that. Because if you want people to keep coming to your Airbnb, it's got to be kept nice. The outside has to look nice. The inside has to look nice. So we actually have one that I know of that's an Airbnb, and it's maintained really well. And it brings new and interesting people to the neighborhood who are coming to Indianapolis because they want to be here. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, and I also think, I know it was kind of a whole to do with Fixer Upper at one point. And there was rumors about, okay, buyers have to sign something saying they won't be Airbnbs and all that. And we don't do any of that. I really think like just the natural state of the economy will moderate that for us. Cause so many of our homes are so close to each other. Everyone couldn't buy them and turn them all into Airbnbs. Cause there's just not a demand for that. But again, they're great properties to buy as an investment property as well because the areas are transitional. So it's obviously we always love to sell to homeowners, but we're not going to not sell it to someone who's deciding to use it as an investment property because that's a really good business model as well.
We have a listener voicemail from Diane who has a comment for our guest. Let's listen to that now.
Hi, my name is Diane. I'm in Noblesville, Indiana, and have always enjoyed watching this show, just dreaming of the possibility that I could use my skills to expand and maybe learn from these gals because they're just awesome. They have so much energy and enthusiasm about doing what they do. I am a painter and love fixing things, just have not been able to restore and go at it as far as they do and would love to learn more. If they're looking for some help, oh my goodness, can I come volunteer? I promise I'm good at it. Well, thank you so much. It's just fun to hear them on the radio and they're local. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Diane. So she mentions wanting to learn about restoration. What advice would you give her or someone else starting out? Karen?
I think the trick is to do two things that seem counterintuitive, be fearless and know your limits. So I don't land wires in an electrical box because I'm not an electrician. I can run wires all day long because I can drill holes and pull wire. So if there's something that you don't understand, educate yourself, try doing it, unless it's dangerous, then maybe don't, and then figure out what your limits are. So just go get it, just do it.
Okay, so you also do some work in the community, and Good Bones worked with the indie-based nonprofit Big Car Collaborative and their Artist and Public Life Residency program this season. And this program supports artists who drive positive change in the community, and one of those supports is housing. Karen, can you tell us about that project?
It was so much fun to collaborate with Big Car. What they're doing is awesome, and being part of rehabilitating the housing for the artists was very inspirational for us. And we tried to make each house unique. One of them screams to me, if you're a culinary artist, you want this house. And another one, if you're into abstract painting or sculpture, this is the one for you. And then the other one, I don't even know how to describe. I want to live in it. That's what I want. It was an opportunity to be creative in a different way. And it was very, very gratifying.
Well, and it was really nice because our general contractor was had to be, you know, he had to buy in on the project as well, because Two Chicks and a Hammer, obviously, you know, we did it at no fee. The homes weren't sold. We didn't, you know, make a profit on anything or, you know, make a consulting fee. But our contractor was super into it as well. So the amount of work that needed to be done on the homes was significantly more than he charged for. So he, it wouldn't have been possible without them being on board for that as well.
We're talking to Mina Starzyak-Hawk and Karen E. Lane, the co-founders of the home renovation business Two Chicks and a Hammer and hosts of Good Bones on HGTV. And a quick calendar note along those lines, if you're interested, there's a socially distanced viewing party scheduled for the evening of August 4th at Tube Factory Art Space, which is a community space in the area there. If you're interested in the event, you can find more details on their Facebook page. Mina, you also recently opened a home furnishing store called Two Chicks District Company in Bates Hendricks. Tell us about this project.
This has been a long time coming. It's been in the works for a while. And we finally were able to get the financing to start about 8 months ago. It's an old warehouse in Bates Hendricks that we had bought that was just a wreck. And the idea was we just really wanted a place that met a lot of people's needs. So not only does it have like home furnishings and home decor, you could also go in and buy a gift really for anyone for any holiday. And then also in the front, we have a little bistro that's sandwiches and cheese plates and beer and wine and cold brew. So if you're going, you know, with a friend or significant other and one of you is more into it than the other, you know, just have a cocktail while the other one shops, or, you know, grab a glass of wine while you're shopping. And then also it was just really important for us to make it a neighborhood hangout, because we wanted to build to the community, which Bates Hendricks is always incredibly strong on. And the Neighborhood Association has been super supportive and really excited about that. So there's, you know, now a place where you can go and have a glass of wine after work or sit and work on your computer over lunch. And we just wanted it to feel very like comfy and like home.
Well, you said that the warehouse was a wreck. Is there a difference in rehabbing a warehouse versus rehabbing a single family home?
Oh my goodness. I mean, we thank God that my sister Kelsey and my sister-in-law and Alexa Kelsey spearheaded it and Alexa was a right-hand man, but there was such a huge learning curve, not necessarily because of the structure of the building, but because it was A, commercial, and then B, because we were going to have food and beer and wine. So there's ADA requirements and, you know, health code requirements and all these things that we've never had to deal with before on a residential level, that they really had to dig into to figure out.
Karen, I hear that you've got your own corner of fun stuff there in the store. What can we find there?
There's planters for garden plants, and I have made a bunch of charcuterie and cutting boards and some ceramics and my favorite scent product, and the cleaning products that go along with it are there. What else is there? I keep trying to put other things in the corner and I keep getting told no, because they're not appropriate for the store.
And I would like to mention that not only is the purpose to be like a cool neighborhood spot, but Two Chicks and a Hammer also has a 501c3 called Two Chicks Give Back. And the purpose of that is to be able to give back to people in the neighborhood that are, you know, trying but can't necessarily afford repairs. So maybe someone on a fixed social security income, that their gutters are falling down, those kind of things. And 10% of the profit from the store all goes to support the 501c3, where the funds go back to the neighborhood. So it's, you know, the whole circular comes back around.
One home at a time. So, Mina, the show has captured all of those housing projects that you and the team have accomplished, of course, over the last several years. But it also has captured a lot of personal milestones of yours. We've seen you get married. You've shared the highs and lows of starting a family. Did you ever anticipate you'd share so much of your own story, your personal life, with a nationwide TV audience?
I don't have a ton of boundaries. I've always been pretty open, but just the people who are listening and watching are significantly more now. And I think that, there seems to be a point on the show, you know, when you're a few seasons in, where the network really wants more of your personal life to come through because you've already built the trust about the business and what you do. And then they kind of inject all those personal moments and make it, you know, still about the houses, but just as much about, you know, our lives around everything other than, you know, the construction of the homes.
Have you felt the need to push back against that at any time, or have you always been comfortable with it? Have they always been respectful about that, would you say?
Oh, I mean, they're incredibly respectful, and pretty much everyone on the show is an open book, and my husband's been great about being supportive about sharing the things we had. But when there are things that are important, like we haven't shared the gender of our upcoming baby, and we don't keep a lot of things to ourselves, and that's something that he wanted to keep to ourselves until the birth. And so that's what we're doing. And you know, there's all the questions about it, but production's respectful and people understand. We're like, you know, there's not a lot of things we keep to ourselves. So this is just one of them.
So, Karen, after 5 seasons on a national television show, I'd guess that you're probably both pretty recognizable now in and I guess even out of your communities. How has the show changed your day-to-day life?
The best thing about being recognizable is I used to be the crazy person who walked up to complete strangers and made friends. And now complete strangers come up to me and make friends. So my job's way easier. I mean, I genuinely like people. I like meeting people. They have interesting stories. So, and in our own neighborhood, they've all known us since way before we were like, this is cool. We're not that cool. They know us. And so we don't get treated differently in the neighborhood, the local, you know, shops that we shop in, where we go out to eat all the time. It's just normal. Nobody gets excited, which is nice. It's very nice.
And Mina, along those lines, you were recently awarded IU's 2020 Outstanding Young Alumni Award. What did that recognition mean to you, knowing that when you left school, you were still figuring things out, and now here you are?
I think it's obviously cool just on face value, but also when I went to IU, I got a general studies degree because I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I got a couple minors, and I think it's important for people to see that, okay, you don't have to have gone to the highest level business school or, you know, whatever specialty you think it is. Like, you can do almost anything with, you know, a general studies degree or a trade school. Like, it doesn't have to be, there's not one path for everyone, I guess, is what I was trying to say. So that when it was kind of, you know, not the most exciting thing when I was at IU to be in general studies, I think it is much more now because I got this really awesome broad education and still was able to succeed in a lot of the things that I wanted to do. And for them to recognize that, I think is helpful to a lot of other kids because so many people go into college, like, you shouldn't know what you want to do when you're 17 or 18. And
we're going to have to, okay. I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. I want to thank you both for your time today. Karen E. Lane and Mina Starziak-Hawk, the hosts of the show Good Bones, co-founders of Two Chicks and a Hammer. It was so great to have you on the show today. I'm Matt Pelser. Thank you so much for listening today. This is All In.